we wanted to share beyond just going to design conferences and any type of conference,
yeah,
or event. Why do we go, and do we learn anything?
Yeah, some people think they're overrated, especially after all these face-to-face conferences moving online during pandemics. You know, like the massive Adobe Max. Now it happens in person, but for 2 years it happened online.
Yeah,
and now it just keeps happening online.
Figma did something similar as well.
Yeah, so now that you can do it face-to-face, yeah, a lot of people think it's like, maybe I'll just stay back online, you know. But I don't think it's the same, man. I think you have to, because if you're online, you're probably working, and then you have on the side like this.
It's like watching the
conference. Yeah, the conference is happening in the back, like background noise.
Yeah.
But then if you're there, you're most likely paying attention to the keynote.
Well, if you pay for it, I would assume that you would.
No, but even online you have to pay for it as well.
No, that's what I mean. Like if you are online, I assume you would actually watch it.
Yeah, right, but what I'm saying is that I guess what I'm saying is more the distractions, because the conference, you are there.
Right.
Like the face-to-face conference.
The thing is, you like conferences a lot. You like going to conferences, actually.
I'm a sucker for that.
Why is that?
I think part of that, I just say, because you're there, okay, and then you're like soaking up all that. You're like completely isolated from all those distractions.
Okay.
Because
you're there in the moment.
Yeah, because you and I, like, we're at the forefront of uncommon.
Yeah.
So if we do that online, most likely we're going to be replying to emails or working or doing design. But if we go to the conference, then it's just that. Man, we went to TDC design conference in Brisbane in the middle of a project. We were about to kick off a project. And we decided to do it for many reasons. But I remember we have to go to the conference and then go back to the hotel and then carry on with the project that we were working on.
We actually took meetings between breaks.
Yeah, we took meetings in between breaks, and it just I feel like we made that happen, and it was fine. But if we were in Melbourne and not at the conference, I don't think we would have been paying too much attention. But why don't you like?
Well, I'm changing my mindset around conferences because of you, actually. Mm-hmm. Because some people may not know this, but I'm not a big conference person.
Yeah.
But to your point, I think the one thing I agree now and that I'm changing the way I see it is you put a name to the face too, right? Because you put a face to the name, actually. It's the other way around.
You can do either way.
Yeah, either way. Point being that if you're not there physically, no one really knows who stands behind Uncommon. So maybe that's one thing that I give you. Actually, it is good to be there. I think we've spoken about this before. The reason why I'm not a huge fan of events is because sometimes I feel like I go and I don't learn anything. So I'm spending all this money, which is not...
They're not cheap.
Yeah, conferences aren't cheap. So I wish I take something away from that I can apply.
You gotta really make your money worth.
100%. Yeah, and I've been to so many where I don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So
back in the day, you mean, when you were a student?
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah,
and I've also spoken about this. I'm not a huge fan of networking.
What are you a fan of, man? Come on.
I'm not.
You just keep saying, you know,
such
not
a
fan
hater,
of,
right?
Yeah, such a, I'm not a fan of this podcast.
I'm not a fan of anything.
Yeah.
No, it sounds so negative.
Networking. You're not a fan of networking.
The premise is I am not a fan of trying to talk to people for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to connect with someone that really cares,
right?
Because I do care. If you tell me a story, I'll listen.
Purpose and
exactly. And so the idea of networking just because you're there,
it does happen. Like there's a lunch break in the middle of the conference and then people just standing around and it's okay to go approach and talk to somebody. But sometimes, like very quickly, you realize.
I was just thinking, now people are going to look at me and be like, oh, I'm going to talk to that guy.
Oh, that's the guy who doesn't like networking.
That's the guy that hates networking.
Yeah, you're
going to
be standing on the corner by yourself and I'm just going to be controlling the masses. I'm like, okay, hang on.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to approach someone, but very quickly you realize if they into networking at that point or not. You know, some people are just in the middle of lunch and they just want to have lunch.
Exactly.
Some people are decompressing from the keynotes, you know, from the morning block.
Totally.
Other people like myself, I'd like to go and talk to others and see what's going on.
No, look. let me make it clear
you're
that
just digging your hole.
I do like talking to people. That's not the problem. I just don't like networking. I hate that word.
Mm.
And I think when you go to a conference, it's embedded in the experience that you're gonna network, right?
It's expected.
Exactly.
That's so. The two things you do at a conference, right? Maybe three. One is keynotes.
Yeah.
Networking is a big one.
Yeah.
And maybe the wrap up drinks. That's pretty much it. It comes down to that.
Oh, so you do go for the drinks too.
Man, 100%. That's why you pay the extra tier so you can get those fancy cocktails.
It's probably cheaper to just go to a bar and meet people.
Yeah, but then that's weird, man. Like, I'm married, have kids, you know, why would I go to a bar?
That's strange. At that point, that's strange. But on that premise, right, like we wanted to talk about, you know, why we go to conferences as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, and I'm kind of looking at you on this one because you are helping change my mind around it and to see the value in it. So we actually...
I get royalties from bringing people to the conferences. So every time you go there, I get paid.
They should pay you actually because you promote the conferences a lot.
That's the thing. Like from a branding point of view, man, if I like what they do, I'm definitely going to promote that. And then the TDC... I'm going to answer your questions, right? Like why that one, right?
Yeah.
The design conference in Brisbane, I just wanted a change of scenery. Yeah. There's a lot of UX and UI in our lives, a lot of digital, mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, research, customer centric and blah, 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 all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I just want to change
the buzzwords.
All the buzzwords. Yeah. And I just wanted to change the scenery, like literally, because we also went to Brisbane. So it's not the same.
Yeah. Change of scenery, as in because a design conference is more about creative.
Yeah.
And graphic design.
Branding, graphic, animation. So
different realms of the design world.
There was barely any digital presented there. And maybe, no, I think it was all piece of folio and then giving you the backstory of that. So when you see, or at least when I see a really good piece of work, I want to understand how they got there.
Yeah.
Because the process is really interesting and it's never straightforward. You know,
and
it doesn't matter if it's a small studio or if it's a big studio. That's the reason why I wanted to go there to see what would happen. And I've never been to TDC before. I've never been to Brisbane, and we had the opportunity. I was like, let's do it.
And we did. I had never heard of the TDC conference before, but I think it was good. I do agree with the fact that we got to step out of the normal UX UI world and see how some studios were approaching really creative projects. That was really, really interesting. The one thing actually that surprised me, there was this studio that actually went through the process of how they did a piece. Like not only they presented it up on stage, but they also had like a mini workshop that you could go and see the step by step.
They broke down the
Mortal Kombat project. And it's such a cool project, right?
It was the credits?
The credits for the Mortal
and,
Kombat
and
movie.
And the emblem, like the little dragon as well.
Exactly.
It's a dragon.
Yeah, it's a dragon. Yeah. But
For the movies, the credits for the movie.
Yeah.
The live action movie.
Yeah. It was cool. Like, I didn't expect they were going to do that because a lot of people are very precious about showing how they do
things.
They,
like, literally opened the Illustrator file and then went through everything there.
I remember clearly. Illustrator... And a little bit of Photoshop was the tool that sparked the idea.
Yeah.
And then they did everything
because they talked about using that cheesy effect, that bevel and bows.
This is like a threshold.
Yeah.
They use a threshold.
Oh, you mean for that one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why I said the other one. Yeah, the threshold one.
I have terrible memory, but I remember this so clearly because actually it showed me that sometimes the best project comes out of nothing. Right. Like
something so simple.
I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but up on stage they showed what the original idea was and that it took forever to produce. And then when they presented it to the client hated it. And then they were scratching their heads like, oh, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And they solved it in the most simple but elegant way and it looked amazing. So,
and that was the tool that you talked about.
Yeah, indirectly. I'm not saying, I'm not like, you know, I'm going to replicate the project and that I learn a new skill. But I definitely learn that sometimes you see all this amazing work and you think, oh, how do they you know, they must be so good at what they do and they must be so skillful. And you know what? Sometimes the best ideas come from the most basic concepts.
Yeah.
You know? So
one of the things that I took away from that, and it's nothing tangible, or it's not like something that somebody said or somebody did.
Yeah.
It was more about the drive of doing something creative and and pushing through so you can get through. And that really helped me to, like, that pushed me over the edge to do this project, the podcast.
Yeah.
Because we were doing it in audio, and then I think we put it on hold for like a year.
Nah, it was like a few months.
Man, we, like, the audio one, we recorded at the end of last year.
Are you kidding me? Really?
Yes. And then we launched it, and then we
see, that's where my memory fails already.
And then we didn't do anything until, like, I don't know, June or July, like this year.
Right. Okay. Well, it's been a long time, hey.
It's probably not a year, but it wasn't 2 months or 3 months. It was quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, we have to do it. I mean, yeah. I know you were very keen, but that's what I took away from that. It's like the creative, those creative juices that we keep talking about. Mm-hmm. And
taking something to the next level too.
Yeah, just do it, you know, like do it and push through. And, you know, and we met amazing people. We met Karan, who came on board to the episode number one.
Yeah, that's another thing we took away. We met and connected with some people. We saw some friends as well.
We saw Jason and Marco up there as well. And they told us about the No BS conference that we'll talk about in a few minutes.
Ended up going to as well.
Yeah, sold us a dream. Yeah. They sold us a ticket right there.
it led to a lot of cool things. The No BS, talking about No BS. Because we Jason and Marco, who are the organizers of the event, were up in Brisbane at the TDC, and I met them for the first time. You already knew them,
yep.
And it was really cool. We started talking about NFTs and, you know, what they were going to do with the conference. And at that point, I was again thinking, oh, I'm not going to go to another conference.
You already checked out when they started talking about the conference.
Yeah, but they did say something interesting, which was, by the way, the No BS obviously comes from the no bull beep word. The essence of it is that you sit there and you get your money worth because the speakers go and they don't only talk about themselves and the work that they do. They actually share thought-provoking ideas.
They barely show any work. Like, they do show... They might show you the folio or a piece of work that they're working on or they did.
Yeah.
But it's very minimum compared to all the backstory that they tell you about that and how that, you know, led on to something greater than just, you know, the piece of work.
A lot of them spoke with purpose, I felt. And also, some didn't even show any work. Like some of them stood there and, you know, they actually show something like a side project.
Or their views on a subject and then references were there, but yeah.
Like conversations went from...
Completely different to TDC.
Oh, big time. Like, you know, some of them were talking about the future of the metaverse and what it could look like. Others talked about mental health in the advertising industry, which was that super powerful.
Jasmine. We have an episode with Jasmine, so we'll try to link it somewhere here. And
such a good episode.
Mental health, Andy Wright, mental health in the software. You know, that's such a weird idea.
So unique.
It's so niche, but it is true. We sat down and talked to him later for another episode, and he just like sold us what he explained very well, the idea of how you can be mindful of that in the software, in this case, Streamtime.
It was so good. It's one of my favorite. Those two are one of my favorite episodes. And again, it speaks to the kind of people that No BS brings. You know, they really try to make sure that everyone that's up on stage gives you something that you can take away. And man, I did feel like I was sitting there and I was engaging with the conversations. I also liked Alex Antolino, which we also had in our podcast.
Shout out to Alex.
Yeah, man, such a legend.
This episode's coming too.
Yeah, and he spoke about how the whole content creator world and
the economy.
It was so fascinating, right? Like seeing how, you know, these kids on YouTube, like on TikTok, are actually changing the world and changing the whole way in which we approach content and we consume content.
And the way he presented that and the way he talked to us, it almost made me want to do a TikTok.
Oh, totally.
I don't use TikTok, but it was like, come on, guys, let's go. Let's get up and, you know, and look at these numbers and look at these graphs and look at this, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, this is, I was drinking the juice there. I was like, yeah, give it to me, you know?
I was taking notes, and I don't usually take notes because it's hard for me to concentrate and take notes and listen to it.
To capture both
things. I really wanted to capture everything he was saying because I was like, I'm going to make sure we apply this stuff on Monday. And we did. Which I think, again, it's a really good example of, you know, why we go to a conference in the first place.
What do you take away from it?
But when you take away something, then you can actually use it. So on Monday, you and I came back to the office and we had like a mini workshop where we kind of said...
Decompressed
all the notes.
Yeah.
You know, you took some, I did take some others, and then we put them together and turn them into action points.
Yep, that's true. And the other thing that I took away from that was one very specific thing from Kevin Finn was about your brand telling your customers stories. How does that reflect into them? So as opposed to, this is my brand, this is my story, you know.
Buy it.
Yeah, buy it, deal with it, relate to it. No, it's like, how is that reflecting on their stories?
That was so good too.
It was a great keynote. But the point being is that really helped us to also shape the format of this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, because we've been doing this for just, we're at a point where we can still pivot and shift things here and there so we can really refine it. But that one really resonated with me.
Yeah, it did apply actually to the stuff that we were doing because it gave structure almost.
Yeah.
And even a layer of meaning as well to the stuff that we do. So, you know, big shout out to No BS. Like it was super.
I like the fact that we went the one with the aim to support the boys, Jason and Michael at the start.
Yep.
Also, you that was the main goal, to support them, right?
Yeah.
But then you walk out of there with all this knowledge and all these different takeaways that you can then apply onto your own business. But it's not all about design and we also attended another conference at the start of the year. You were just saying two days after your birthday?
It was 2 days after my birthday, yeah. Well, you got that right.
I got that right. Yeah. And that was the NFT Melbourne?
NFT Melbourne, yeah. Which
organized by Theo.
Yep, which hopefully joins us. So he may be
He is going to be here in a couple of weeks.
Oh, sweet.
Okay. He'll join us in a couple of weeks, yeah.
It's also going to be part of the podcast. So when you're listening to this, it might already happen or it may happen at some point.
In the metaverse, maybe. I don't know.
Who knows? The truth is, we went to NFT Melbourne because we were at the point where working on some NFT projects, we're super interested in this space.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And this came up and it was a no-brainer. We had to go because we wanted to see.
Zero expectations. Remember 100%. That?
100%. Oh, yeah.
Man, let's go. It's going to be in some basement. And
yeah.
The billboards look like a basement.
Yeah, true. That was a venue. Yeah. It looked like it's a nightclub for context. So some people may not know what billboards is.
It's a nightclub in the city, in the CBD, city center of Melbourne. It's an institution.
It is for partying.
If you're 18 years old. No. If you're 18 years old and you haven't been there, you're nobody.
But yeah, true. I never went there, by the way. It was my first time.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah.
What was so interesting for me anyway was seeing how many people were into the space when they sold the tickets and they were saying there's a conference. In my mind, I'm like, maybe it's just going to be like, you know, a small group of people
around the table.
And
yeah,
it was packed.
And by the number of people, I think you also mean the background, the different backgrounds from each person. You know, it was it was not. Remember, you went in and it was about. They will give you a wristband, and each wristband will relate to maybe you were a creator, you were a developer, or you were, I can't remember the third one, an investor maybe?
They had a wristband for investors as well.
Was it? Or a collector? I can't remember now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like you and I went there with zero expectations, and all of a sudden you walk in and the place is packed. You know, it's like 1,000 people there, and everyone's super keen on the panel, and that's where we met Danielle Weber, who also came to the podcast, had tacos and spicy margaritas.
Yeah.
Such a good episode.
Good episode. Yeah. Man, she's such a legend. And I feel like everyone was there also almost finding their way into the space. And that was something that I really liked. It kind of felt...
Yeah, like we were not alone, right? We're like, everyone's just like learning on the job.
A little bit, yeah.
On the go, I should say.
It was kind of like the forming of an industry, mm-hmm. you know, the very early days of an industry. And so that was really cool. And we also got to learn about other projects, which we didn't know about. We met some creators as well.
Yep.
Some guys who were in the gaming industry, and then they switched to the NFT space, and they were doing mm-hmm. some really cool stuff. So it was just super interesting to be exposed to that crowd, you know?
Yeah, and I like how there was this quirky kind of theme going around, like everyone's very geeky, but very passionate, and it's not geeky in a way that you can't understand what they're talking about,
yeah.
you know, because when it's such a niche industry
yeah.
that they get into the detail.
Creative geeks,
yeah. they get
that's
into,
a term.
Yeah, that's yeah, a term right yeah. there. They get into so much detail that sometimes you get lost, right?
Yeah.
But in this case, like everyone was so welcoming and everyone was just like explaining things and sharing their own experiences.
Yeah.
And that was my main takeaway, just to kind of level up with everybody and understand that I wasn't the only one who was learning on the go and
trying to make sense of this 100%, NFT thing.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. That's why I'm big on going to conferences that are not just about design, if you're a designer. Again, something that I talked about before with you, but the reason why I'm big on it is because sometimes when you go to a design conference, whether you want it or not, you're going to see stuff that you already know, maybe.
You mean as a designer when you go to a design conference? Yeah.
You're accustomed to, exactly. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go to a conference that's got nothing to do with design, there's so much you can learn and you can expose yourself to new things.
But also so much you can give back.
As well.
Because you offer a different perspective. At least that's how I see it. You know, when I see a conference about NFTs or the Web3, and there's the main themes are, again, NFTs and the blockchain technology. There are a lot of people that understand that.
Yeah.
But also there's a lack of people that understand the pain points from a user point of view.
Yeah.
So as a user, if you want, you know, all the hurdles you have to go through as a user, if you want to buy an NFT,
yeah.
you know, you have to find the wallet and then get the wallet connected and da, da, da.
Yeah.
And we talked about this many, many times before. And everyone understands.
We whinged a lot about this.
Yes. And everyone understands that there's an issue there. Everyone in this example in that conference understand there's an issue there, but yep. very little people will know how to solve it. You know, I'm not saying we have the answer, but I think we are a little bit closer to understanding how it could be solved, and that's what we can bring onto the table.
Well, that the NFT conference led to us kind of realizing there is a gap in the space mm-hmm. and that we can actually do something to solve it.
Yep.
And so, you know, from there, we did a couple more NFT projects and
Web3 projects,
yep. actually. And
we don't have an NFT collection just yet.
No, but we talked about it. It may come out.
Yeah,
not sure. I don't want to kill that idea because I think, you know, there's something in there.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But I think one takeaway and something that we did apply then mm-hmm. To our work is that we saw that the space was still in the very early days and therefore, like you're saying, wasn't mainstream. So it was kind of difficult to get into. And there was lack of trust as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So every project we took afterwards was focused on making sure that the trust aspect was
embedded,
you know, embedded and it was there. Mm-hmm. It was present. So people, you know, when people came to the website and saw the project for the first time, it had this sense of...
Understanding.
Yeah, understanding also felt like the project was actually legitimate. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think indirectly we learned something.
100%, yeah. I think from each of these events, we took something away and yeah. then we applied.
Yeah.
And that would be the one thing that I would recommend anyone going to a conference, attending to a conference online or in person, is maybe set yourself some goals.
Yeah.
It could be, I want to catch every single keynote. Make sure you do that. It could be, I want to talk to this keynote speaker after the keynote.
Yeah.
So perhaps you have to do a little bit of research on them. And as long as you check those boxes, then I would say it's okay to pay for however much it's going to be, you know, but make sure you walk away from there with something
that you can apply.
That you can apply, yes.
Big and time.
If you do that, I can almost 100% guarantee that it's going to be very fulfilling.
Oh, man.
Because I feel like we walk out of conferences and we take so much from it that I don't mind if we pay a couple of grand for, you know, a couple of tickets.
Oh, I was going to say beautiful words, but then you just said that. I was like, oh, my God. Anyway, let's wrap it up. That's great, man.
Okay,
good
man.
Stuff. Nice one.